murder is charged and given a life sentence. You were convicted of robbery and conspiracy to commit first-degree robbery, each of which you were given a 15-year sentence. Aiding and abetting grand theft and possession of a stolen vehicle, each of which had 5-year sentences, and a kidnapping charge, which resulted in a life sentence. That, in fact, is the sentence that Sean Springer, or the conviction that Sean Springer had, that he was sentenced on. I don't think anyone here is operating under the illusion that the court is going to impose a life sentence again in these circumstances. Mr. Larson has correctly pointed out that technically I could. However, in light of the evolving law from the Supreme Court and the primary law from our own legislature, not yet effective, but obviously will be. This court certainly is not considering anything, any provision for a life sentence. Mr. Larson made a correct observation about the mitigating factors that presented in Miller, and I think it is true that the court really, in a number of those factors that are set out, doesn't really need to make findings. They're simply admonitions from the Supreme Court as things that need to be taken into consideration in making a particularized sentence for an individual. Looking at this is somewhat unique. I was thinking there's not very many people that are sentenced to the penitentiary for any period of time that have an opportunity to come back before the court after a significant period of time beyond the 2 years that's available and really have a full-blown resentencing hearing. Yeah, as I said, I thought that was unique, and then I kept thinking a little more about that. Actually, that's what our parole system is. And maybe this court doesn't sit as a parole board. The court probably isn't well equipped to perform that function. Been a great deal of argument here from both sides about the expert testimony that's been presented, and there are faults that can be pointed to in both experts' testimony. Each of them considered the bulk of the relevant evidence in this matter, identified the appropriate evidence, and came to different conclusions ultimately as to, at least as to the diagnosis and the prognosis as to whether Mr. Jensen has rehabilitated. And that, of course, is probably the primary function under the Miller factors for the court to consider, is whether there's been evidence or the possibility of rehabilitation. As I said, I'm faced here with the prospect of sentencing someone for a crime that was committed in 1996, and it's not the same person before me that would have been before me back in 96. That doesn't eliminate the considerations of what took place, the circumstances of the crime that occurred at that time. Youth simply isn't an excuse or a way to excuse a criminal offense. It's long been said that we convict the charge and sentence the individual. And we have an individual here that has shown some growth, and frankly, for the most part, for most individuals, we would expect that they wouldn't be frozen in time and that there would be changes. Whether those changes are an attempt to properly navigate their way through the system, I think was a term that was used. I think navigation can be equated with manipulation as well. Whether that is in play here at all, certainly I expect that some behavioral changes are based on the potential that it could affect what is going to happen to him in the future. At the time of his original sentencing, he did not present as an appropriate individual for much consideration of a lesser sentence than what he received. Despite some of the things that have been said here about him being a good kid, there's little evidence of that, really. He, by his own admission, became a bully in school. He terrorized teachers and principals. Was a problem in the community, had multiple law enforcement contacts, and yet couldn't change his behavior at that stage. And that's still something the court has to consider when it looks at what the appropriate sentence is here and whether he truly has changed. Certainly his level of major and minor violations while in the penitentiary has diminished. Perhaps it's an ordinary maturing process. There certainly are other things the court needs to consider besides simply rehabilitation. The purpose of sentencing also includes retribution and deterrence. I say that 20 years is enough retribution for the gross conduct that has been committed here. There would be a certain amount of synergy involved here if I were to impose the 261-year sentence that Mr. Springer received. These two individuals were, in my view, equally involved in what took place. Mr. Springer wasn't the shooter, but obviously he had a role in it. May have had a greater role in the planning or encouragement of what took place. Both of these individuals were young men of an age that the courts have said now that we need to look at that age of minority and take that into account as mitigation in terms of sentencing the individuals. I don't really see a very significant difference here between Mr. Springer and Mr. Jensen in regard to the offense. I haven't had the ability to evaluate where Mr. Springer is currently situated in terms of whether he has grown and developed to a point where maybe he is worthy of the same consideration for rehabilitation. Given the strong support that has been shown for Paul and the potential to have people support him on the outside. That's certainly something that does augur in favor of consideration of his potential for rehabilitation. I think it's been basically conceded by the defendants here today, yesterday and today, that no one expects that Mr. Jensen is going to be released or could be released at this point in time. He has a great deal yet that he needs to accomplish, and to prove that he can function in society as a positive member of society. There was some talk here about, and I don't know that it was actually termed in terms of legacy, but what it is, what he feels that he can offer to society, and that he wants to have that opportunity. Perhaps what's been testified here today as to the guidance that he indicates that he's helped provide to new people coming into the penitentiary. Maybe that's his legacy. Maybe that's the life plan for him, is to serve that function. I guess that'll be the consideration of the parole board. It'll be the sentence of the court here that he'll be sentenced to 200 years and for the murder of Michael Hare and kidnapping. The other term of year sentences that were imposed will remain in place, and any other conditions of his original sentence, all to be served concurrently.
Thank you.
That's all.
Thank you, Your Honor.